Mind. The Sunday school lesson today was wonderful. It was Psalm 91, I believe. Psalm 91, and I've kept it out here because I may use it, some of it, for what I have to say today. So keep that in mind. So Psalm, well, our message today is keep your mind at peace. Keeping your mind at peace. Now, that's a very difficult declaration considering where we live. Now, we live in a society that bombards us with many different political, social, it can be make of car, it can be where you live, it can be anything that we find ourselves bombarded with things that will keep us or get us worked up. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. Lord, you keep those people safe who continue to trust in you. You give them peace in their minds because they believe in you. Trust in the Lord now and forever. The Almighty Lord will always be our strong rock. So trust in the Lord, then God will keep them safe. Then Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. The King James, I believe it is, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Another version says, do not think that you understand things well. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not think you have the complete picture. We don't have the complete picture. We don't know why other people do what they do, and half the time we don't know why we do what we do. But it's important that we acknowledge and put our trust in God. So we live in a time in which there is a lot of trouble. We are inundated with news, entertainment, politics, media posts, conversations, arguments, all these types of things. I don't know if you enter into arguments or not, but there are people that all of these different environments make up our thoughts and they make up our lives, whether we are at peace or troubled. I find it hard to find programs and news and commentators and all the things that make us feel at peace. It's like it's not there. So most of what the world spews out is upsetting, and I think it's with intention, because the intent is if you're not emotionally involved, you cannot be emotionally controlled, and the point of, it doesn't matter what, you know, who you listen to, what you listen to, it comes down to, are you emotionally involved and are you emotionally invested? And if you are emotionally invested, they're going to stir up the coals. They're going to stir it up to the point where you're more emotionally connected. And people who are emotionally connected don't listen to anything else. There is one way and the only way, because I am emotionally connected and I know that I am right. So just ask me. One of the things to keep in mind is our thoughts determine our personalities, our attitudes, our words, and our actions. Our thoughts determine. You see, what you think determines what you do. What you think determines what you say. And that's why whenever we're focusing on the Lord, we're not, you know, and I'll say it over later, but it's not saying we don't listen and we don't have an opinion and we're not emotionally involved. We have a right to be. That's our freedom. Not going to take that away, and you can have yours, and we can have all the different ones and be diverse in two or three different ways. That's not the problem. They're not the point. The point is we need to have God that is first in our life, that we are invested in him. Our minds are focused on God and what God wants to do in our life. So we tend to become like whatever is dominating our thoughts. We tend to become whatever is dominating our thoughts. You know, that struck home. I mentioned this last week, if you remember. You don't remember? Huh? You didn't write that down? Can't imagine you wouldn't remember what I said last week. I'd have to get my sermon out to remember what I said last week. You You know, I worked in hospice and, you know, ministered there for 30, 35 years. I mean, I was at the hospital for 35 years. It's no wonder I think about death and dying, you know. That's always on my agenda, you know. Who are we going to see today? How are we going to bring people to the realization they've got a certain length of time to live? And those who are the loved ones passed, they're in the grieving process, and how are we going to help them do this? You're lucky I didn't die in the process. Maybe you were praying for that. I don't know. But anyhow, we tend to become whatever is dominating our thoughts. So what dominates our thought? Excuse me. What dominates our thoughts? Faulty thinking leads to failed living. Wise thinking leads to successful living. The way to improve your life is by improving your thinking. Improve what you think. Now, how do we improve upon what we think? Because we think all right. Do you think you think all right? I think all right. That's why I don't stop thinking the way I think. Did you think that? Well, anyhow, God has outlined a direction for each of our lives. So when you are watching TV or listening to some type of broadcast, podcast, cast, whatever you want, remember that God has a plan. God has a plan. And did you notice that in our plans that God has a way of interjecting things that we get to choose how we're going to respond to them? Now, in the broadcast, podcast, and so on, maybe you didn't catch this, but I kind of dimly remembered it, but whenever, years ago, it was all concerned about the body. You know, take this for your body health, take this for your body health. Now what is the big ads for? Mental health. Their message of the pharmaceutical companies bring out new drugs, and what are the new drugs? They're focused on your mind. Because they found out if you don't mind, it don't matter. And so they want your mind. They want you to have smart drugs, cognitive enhancing drugs. They are the over-the-counter supplements that supposedly help with memory loss. And there's even certain drugs that help with Alzheimer's. This is quite a switch, considering we had a few years ago, everything was about body physical health. But if your mind, you had a good body, but a mind, it was, you know, the mind is a terrible thing to lose. Where did it go? Please excuse this illustration. I'm asking for forgiveness ahead of time, all right? All right. So, life is like a roll of toilet paper. The more you pull, the shorter it gets. So your life is getting shorter as it unrolls, all right? So this is quite a switch from only a few years ago, from physical health now to mental health. And I've often considered getting some of these medicines that will help me understand and fix my mind. But the problem is I forget to order. I thought that was funny. Thank you. Yeah. So the message is not about new drugs and the pharmaceutical companies and all that. It's not about trying it for 30 days or 90 days and returning and get your money. So you can't return the sermon and you can't ask for your money back. Okay, sorry. Once it's been given, it's over. So the great physician, though, our great physician Jesus, he has a prescription for our life, and that we are to stay mentally clear. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you. See, this is important. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what our opinions, no matter what emotional investment we have, our mind is focused on God. That's the emotional connection that we need. Because that emotional connection will be our, because we are emotionally connected to the Prince of Peace. In the psalm that we studied this morning, Psalm 91, it's one that we should all read. I think I'm going to print it up and type it up and put some of the commentary with it. But it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Talking about, God is going to protect us. We're in his hands. And the problem is sometimes we get focused outside of his hands. The allurement of our world, that which is anti-God, is wanting to get us outside of our trust and foundation in Christ. They don't believe in God. Most of the people, the world, that which is anti-God, doesn't believe in something higher than themselves. So therefore, their worries and their agendas are not, they're for their own ends, because they're not accountable. But for us, we are accountable. We're accountable for our words, our life, our actions. But that's not a threat. It's an inspiration to trust. God is the one we are trusting to help us and to gain the insight to be at peace in the midst of trouble and difficulty, so that we can be peace givers that God wants us to be in the world around us. In that first verse, there are four names for God. Most High is the Elohim. Almighty is Shaddai. Lord is Yahweh. My God is Elohim. So in that one verse, there are four names for God that are presented, and each of those names represent a characteristic of God that the psalmist goes on to basically bring out throughout the psalm. So as we read this, Isaiah 26:3-4, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord, for in Yahweh, the Lord is everlasting strength. So Yah is the everlasting strength, the rock of ages. The key word is stayed. It means that our thoughts must be centered on the Lord. That if we keep our thoughts centered on God, that we will be safe, we will be secure, we will have an understanding that all these things in life, it's all going to happen because we're headed towards, it's hard to think of, but we are headed towards the Antichrist. We are headed towards a turmoil and an upheaval. And now whether it's going to happen in 10 years or 2 years or whatever, we don't know. But God has told us there's a future in which we are going to be out of this place. The rapture, the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. So that's our security. We're focused on that, and we want to do all the good that we can, all the time that we can, as long as we can. And that's our focus. That's our emotional investment. It's not about proving one thing or another. It's about being at peace with God in the life that we live. So it's not easy to force our thoughts into one direction. It's hard to keep focused. But I like the song, and it's page 155 in your hymnal. Did you find it? Pardon? Look up, in case we don't know the words, look up page 155 in your hymnal, and we're going to just read it, and he's going to play it, whatever. It's like a river glorious. You see, that's what we're after. The chorus, there's all the other that goes on in the verses, but stayed upon Jehovah, our hearts are fully blessed. Stayed, focused, directed towards God, and that he is going to keep us in every situation, whether we're living or dying, whether we're sailing in the highest height or the lowest bottom, doesn't matter. God is there and he is with us. So think about the wonderful God that we serve, the wonderful promises that he has given to us. Be clear-headed. It didn't say empty-headed. Clear-headed. 1 Thessalonians 5:6-8. Be on your guard, not asleep like others. And that's important. Be on guard, not asleep like others. Be on guard is we understand that God has a plan. We are working God. God is working his plan through us, through his church. So we do all the, as we said, do all the good as we can, as long as we can, as much as we can. So stay alert and be clear-headed. Let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Be clear-headed. Be focused on who God is and what God has given to us. In our Sunday school lesson, I don't remember exactly where it was, but the secret place is a covering or a hiding place. The shadow is a refuge and being close to. All of these words tell us about being near God and how God is near us, and God overshadows and works with us, and we are close to Him. He is our refuge and fortress, our shield and our buckler. We find that God is the one who is calling us into this relationship with Him to be focused, and so being having our mind at peace is knowing that the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, is our Savior. That we belong to Him, and He is with us. So, it is the first reference to clear-headed here in 1 Thessalonians refers to a state of the absence of wine. So we'd say, "Oh, we don't drink." Well, the state of the absence of wine is that you are not allowing something to influence your ability to think. Your cognitive recognition. So do not drink wine in the sense of that you are hindering your cognitive recognition. Well, that also applies to our world that would try to hinder our cognitive recognition of a divine truth. The divine truth that comes through the Word and through our understanding of Christ, we have a cognitive recognition of what God is doing in our life and through the Word. And so that is being clear-headed. And also, it suggests an alertness and a discipline in every aspect of life. There is an alertness that the Holy Spirit is with us, and He gives us an alertness about life, about things in life, what is important in life. You know, on my computer, I have a rotating pictures. And they're about probably 15 years ago. And so what I do, and it's like, oh, that's them, huh? I pray for them. So when people come across your mind, people enter into your life and into your thoughts, don't go, well, they did this, they did that, I did this, I did that. No, let's pray about it and allow God to do whatever He wants in our life and pray for His will to be accomplished. So what is alarming in our world is that we are paying people to interpret life for us. We are paying people to interpret life for us. So whoever you listen to, whoever, you know, And I'm picking on news, and I'm picking on the social calendars and social things, because those are the most, I think, some of the most upsetting things going on in our world. And, of course, the elections. So these things can be very upsetting. And, again, I cannot interpret your life. God sets you up to interpret your life. God has set you up to interpret the events of life. We are accountable to God for how we interpret, but we are also to keep our mind focused on God and allow God to help us in this interpretation. Now, I can't tell you what is right or what is wrong, but I can tell you what the Scriptures talk about. And the Scriptures talk about being at peace. We don't have to have somebody interpret life for us. God interprets. See, that's what's different about Christianity. Our life with Christ is to be built and focused around the Word of God, around the Scriptures, and that He is the rock of our salvation. We build our life upon the rock, not upon the sand. We build it upon the rock, Christ, the truths that are eternal. And this is our security in this life and in the life to come. And so we want to allow God to give to us clear-headed enough to allow ourselves to see God and His work in our life more clearly. It talks about the helmet of salvation. This is having an assurance of our salvation, first of all, that we know, in my ministry of working with different people of different denominations and different what can I say that? Different religious groups. And it was surprising to me to have people who were in a leadership position in religious organizations say that, I hope that I've done enough to get to heaven. It's like, I remember the shock I felt whenever this person told me this. And I was like, oh, you're not, you know, 80 years old and serving and you know, all their life. And she says, I'm hoping that I've done enough so that I can get into heaven. And we've got one thing to do. We've got one thing. Jesus is the only way. Helmet of salvation. Christ has saved me from my sins. Our sins are forgiven. The helmet of salvation, it protects our thoughts. That's why whenever we're saying we can't allow the anxiousness of interpretations, somebody else's interpretation of life, to take away the peace of God in our own hearts and minds. Also, the helmet, if you have the right helmet, it can filter out or allow in, you know, allow in the wrong conversations. But our focus is on Christ, our focus is on the Word. God is the one who is going to keep me. We want His thoughts. We want His ways to be filtered into our hearts and minds, and we're focused on Him. The opposite of clear-headed is confusion. God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets, meaning that what I, you know, some people will say, it's like God has altered my thinking. No. You are in control of your thoughts. The prophet is subject, you know, you're subject to your own thoughts, that the prophets are subject to the prophets, the spirit of the prophet's subject. So I can't say, God told me to tell you this, and I'm not responsible for what I'm saying. No, I'm always responsible. We are always responsible for what we say. God does not hit us over the head and knock us to the floor and say, you say this, David. No. He inspires us, but we are responsible. I am responsible for what I say. I am responsible. I can't blame it on God. hopefully he has inspired and his spirit has inspired. But the spirit of a true preacher is under the preacher's control. That's what it means. And for God is not a God of disorder or confusion, but he is a God of harmony. Now, it's like, it's in our world around us, it's oil and water, you know. It just doesn't mix. But here we are to live in harmony in a world of oil and water. Well, we're not the oil or the water, we are the Spirit of God. And our world is that which is anti-God, not all the world, but people who are anti-God. We have a harmony, we have a spirit of strength, of power, of love, of a sound mind. It's because of God and His Word. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Stayed upon Jehovah. Keep our thoughts on Him. We can usually learn, let me see what I said here. Oh, basically saying that a few minutes of news is enough. 8 hours of it is too much. Isaiah 5 verse 20 says, God's word for us to hear. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. I think a lot of people who write in articles and newspapers and whatever, that if they are misinterpreting the truth and presenting evil as good and good as evil, they're in trouble. You know, they don't have accountability. Why? They don't believe in it. But because they don't believe in it, doesn't mean it isn't true. And so in our life, what are we looking at? That let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable before God. We want what's acceptable before God. I try to listen sometimes to the different, you know, different broadcasts and whatever, and I turn it on and I get this check in my heart. It's like, Don't listen to this. Because it's someone's interpretation. And we must look that our mind is stated. We must know what's going on. We must know events and so on. We can't live in a closet. God wants us to be involved in life, but we are the light of the world. The light of the world is the light that shines into darkness. And where is the darkness? The darkness is all around us. People don't know about God. The God that we serve is loving, forgiving. He wants to prepare our hearts and our minds because he's coming for us. You know, there are people that we love and know aren't going to make it. They have rejected the light, and so we want our light to shine. And it's the light of our relationship with Christ. Jeremiah the prophet said in chapter 15, verse 16, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Your words were found, and I ate them. I consumed your word. It's like the word that we just read and stayed upon Jehovah and Psalm 91. Your word is consumed by us. It's like our spirit is hungry for God. And we want to consume it. And Jeremiah is saying it. We found your word and I consumed it. See, that's the hunger and thirst after righteousness. And what will happen? They shall be fed. They shall be full. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "So we do not force on what is seen, but on we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen." The focus isn't on what is presented before us. It's a show. What is unseen? What is going on in the heavenly realms and the spiritual realms around it? What is the spiritual implications of all of our world around us? Our neighbors, our friends, our everywhere we go. Where is the spiritual world is going on? We talked about that on Wednesdays, about the angels and fallen angels and the spirits of this try to dominate this world. But there is the spirit of Christ, which is bringing peace. Paul also told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, he tells him, "Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church. Encourage believers in teaching them." Encourage believers. Encourage reading the scriptures. This isn't old news. The scriptures are not old news. They're not campfire stories. They are the word of God delivered to us. And I'm more convinced of this than ever watching these biblical archaeologists and their timelines and what they find, what they dig up. Everything, if you go to where the Bible says, the one archaeologist, he says, if you go to where the Bible says, you will find what is there. And he did that with Jericho. He did that with Sodom and Gomorrah. He did that with, scripts that talk about the... in Nineveh, when there was an eclipse in the scripts that were they found all these like hundreds of letters that were clay tablets. And on those clay tablets they had different years, but they did not have the calendar that we do. But in one of those calendar years they had an eclipse of the sun. And so they went back through NASA's astrological calendar and found the very day that this eclipse would have happened and the year. And they put that year together, and they were able to parallel that with the children of Israel and the events that happened in Israel, and they were able to put a timeline on events of Israel that other people were saying couldn't exist. But it exists, and it's proven archaeologically. So in our minds, in our heart, the proof of the scriptures, it's always been there. Sometimes we said it's just our belief, but it's not just believing. It's understanding the evidence that is presented to us. Another story. It's like some people are like being lost in a fog. You know? You ever been in a fog that's so difficult you can't see where you're going? You people live in a fog out there in the mountain. You know? And I've come up over that mountain where I've had my head out the window trying to find a line to get up over the hill. But I remember, I don't know if it was me or one of my friends, probably it was me. We were following this car and I was following its taillights and he stopped. He was in his driveway. You know, it's like, you know, you just, you know, people are following the taillights in front of them, and they're in a fog, and they think, well, they know where they're going. Yeah, they're going home. But and there were three guys in our community that went fishing in the Gulf, and they were out there enjoying themselves, and all of a sudden they found themselves in a deep fog. And they had no clue which way's out. They're from Wimber. And so they had no clue which way was out, but the one man had kind of put his bearings together and said, this is the way we have to go. And so in the fog, they took their boat in the direction for 45 minutes, because you're not flying out in the, you know. And just whenever the guys were saying, this is the wrong way, we've got to go a different way, and they were just ready to turn around and head out back into the Gulf, they saw the lights on the shore. Because if they hadn't seen the lights, they would have died in the fog. People don't know where the light is. They think they know. They're following somebody's taillights. But we have the light of Jesus Christ, and He is the light of the world. He is the light of our life. He is the strength of our soul and our spirit. He leads us and guides us into truth. So let us focus on Christ. Don't worry about people in the fog, just be the light. I always use this illustration that we as parents, remember talking, we as parents, we are the lighthouse on the shore. And no matter how far out to sea our kids may go, our friends and family may go, we are still the same. We are the same light, sending out the same signal that they know where home is. We are sending out the light of Christ, and you and I know where home is. It's in Jesus Christ. Stay clear-headed. God has a plan. Stay focused. God has a purpose. Stay on track. God has a direction for our life. He is the light of the world. We follow Him. We will be sending out the right light. Amen? Stayed upon Jehovah. What happens? Stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed. Finding, as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Finding, as He promised. These are things God has promised to us, and that He is the rock upon which we stand. Stay focused. Jesus, we thank You. You are the light of the world. You are the hope of our life. You are the strength of our soul. God, You have a direction for our world and our life. Let us not think that we are in a fog. Because, Lord, our life is focused on You. It is those who are lost, who are trying to make evil look good and good look evil. Lord, they are in a fog. They don't know which way is right. But, Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your spirit. We thank You that You enable us to make choices and to make decisions. We pray for Your direction in every event of our life, whether we're in school or whether we're at work, whether we're retired, wherever we are at, God, You are there with us, and You will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.